Amen. Thank you for the special music this afternoon, this morning. It's a blessing. And use your talents and abilities for the honor of the Lord. Luke chapter 2 is where we're going to pick back up this afternoon. Glad that you're here. And pray for those that aren't able to be with us. I'd like to invite you to go back to Luke chapter 2 and find verse 11 if you would. And I want to take a little time this afternoon to dig a little deeper and look at some scriptures just to see a little more about the fact that Jesus is Christ the Lord. So if you're able, let's stand together. We're going to pray one more time, and then we'll get into the text. Luke 2, verse 11. Brother Tom, would you mind leading us in a word of prayer, please? Amen. As you're still standing, Luke 2, verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Thank you. Please be seated. We tried to kind of move quickly through the points this morning. I know you probably couldn't tell, but I was trying to move quickly through the points this morning. But I want to go back and take a little more time to dig into some of the scriptures about this. Does anybody remember what the word Christ means? Anointed. Yeah, anointed, anointed one. And it's the same, the word Christ in the New Testament is the same as what word? Messiah. Messiah. It's not a word we really see. It's in the Hebrew in the Old Testament. And so it's usually translated, it's sometimes Messiah, but sometimes it's just translated anointed. And so we're going to look at that. I want to invite you to open to Psalm chapter 2, Psalm 2. And we're going to look at this psalm. And I want you to see that Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, the promised anointed one from the old covenant. Psalm 2, verse 1. Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. And the Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with the rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are they that put their trust in him. Now, there is a lot in this short song and amazing prophecies that Christ has fulfilled and prophecies that Christ yet will fulfill. And we're not going to unpack all that. I just want you to look at it. Look at verse 2. The kings of the earth set themselves, the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. In other words, the rulers of this world are against Christ. They're against the Lord Jesus. And they say, we're not going to let God rule over us. We're going to be free from the rule of God. We're going to be free from religion. We're going to be free from a God who would tell us what to do. But God, who sits in the heavens, verse 4, will laugh. The Lord will have them in derision. He will speak to them in his wrath, vex them in his sore displeasure, and say, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. In other words, though the rulers of this world will reject Christ, he's still going to rule and reign from Jerusalem. No matter what the world says, no matter what they have done. Because why? Because God says in verse 7, I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. And Jesus of Nazareth, born in Bethlehem, is the Christ, the Son of the living God, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's who he is. And it's a promise that Jesus, the Messiah, would be the anointed one. We can go to Daniel chapter 9 and verse 24. Daniel 9, 24. Now, when you see Christ, not all, so the anointed we saw there, that's where we get Messiah from. In Psalm 2 and verse 2, anointed, that's Messiah. And here we come to Daniel 9, 24. How many of you are familiar with the Daniel 70-week prophecy? Anybody familiar with it at all? Only two of you, three, four. Okay, it's getting better and better every second. Okay, can we try that one more time? How many of you have at least heard of Daniel's 70-week prophecy? Okay, I didn't say do you fully understand it. I just wanted to know if you're familiar with it. We got a couple of minutes this afternoon, so I thought I would try to explain to you in detail exactly what it all means. Okay, yeah. Yeah, you got to be somewhere. Okay. I just appreciate that you understand sarcasm when you hear it. Okay. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. So Daniel has this prophecy, God's revealing to him things that are going to come to pass in the future from his day. And these 70 weeks, we understand them to be 70 sets of seven. And so it's sets of years. That's the way I understand it. But look, he says, verse 25, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem. Time out. Does anybody know who was alive at the time when God set the decree to go and rebuild Jerusalem? Name me some names. Nehemiah, Ezra, okay, so we have Nehemiah, Ezra, we have the king of Persia, Cyrus by name, so we have these people. It was at that time the decree was given that they would go back, okay, restore Jerusalem. So from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, the wall, even in troublous times. So from the time that commandment was given to the time Messiah would come would be these multiplication of weeks. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. So what do we see? That from the time Nehemiah, Ezra would go back, rebuild the wall, rebuild the temple, rebuild the city, till Jesus came would be this set number of days, years, and it was, and Jesus came, Messiah the Prince. Okay? Now, we're not going to get into all of the 69, that was 69 weeks, and then the pause button, if you will, that God puts on prophecy, and we're waiting for that 70th week. I just want you to see that God said Messiah is going to come, and he did. And he did. Now, people who are way smarter than I'll ever be have calculated this out to be the time of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. They have calculated that not to his birth, but to the time when Jesus is brought into Jerusalem on the foal of the donkey, and they throw the palm leaves and things in the street, and they cry, Hosanna, Hosanna. That's the time. So that's what they say. I'm not smart enough to tell them that they're wrong, but I know that the number of years works out just like God said. The number of the years works out just like God said. And Messiah, the Prince, did come. And he's not done, right? Just go back to verse 24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, upon the holy city, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision of prophecy to anoint the most holy. Now, I just want you to get this. This is partly fulfilled in what God did. He was part of this is to deal with his judgment on Israel, which he accomplished in their Babylonian captivity. Part of this is yet to be done and yet to be fulfilled. Christ has come, and he has brought, has he not brought everlasting righteousness? Yeah, he did, through his death and resurrection. Is there everlasting righteousness on the earth? No. Is sin completely gone away yet? No. Is it defeated in Christ's death and resurrection? Yes. But is it all finished up, all wrapped up and done? No. And so it's yes and. It's yes and Christ is the Messiah, the promised one who would come. Isaiah 61, verse 1. Isaiah 61, 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And friends, this is exactly what Jesus did. He came with the power of the Spirit that came on him, and he lived that out, and he preached good tidings, and he healed, and he gave goodness and brought righteousness to Israel at that time. So he is the anointed, the one that was promised, okay? I mentioned this morning, not only he was anointed, we talked about the fact that in the Old Covenant, there were those who were anointed as prophets. Check this out, Deuteronomy 18:15. Moses says, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken. So Moses said, my time here is done, but God's going to raise up a prophet sometime in the future. He's going to be like me, and you'll hear him. So then we fast forward from there, all the way from Deuteronomy to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. Check out verse 12. Acts 3:12. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God has raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I know that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before has showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come for the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear the prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning every one of you from his iniquities. I couldn't leave any of it out. You know, I'm studying this, and I'm really trying to get to verse 22. And I think, well, I want to get the context, so I'm just going to get a couple of verses around it. And you just can't leave any of them out. Look at what he says. I mean, he is preaching to them saying, you denied the Holy One. You denied the just. I'm here to tell you about Christ Jesus. What's he saying? Remember, when I was reading this as a kid, that's Jesus Christ. That's just his name. But no, he's saying Jesus, Messiah. You denied the Messiah. You denied the Anointed One. And I'm here to tell you that he is the anointed prophet. He is the one that God said through Moses, I'm going to raise up a prophet like Moses. And Jesus is the one. You guys have been trusting in Moses. You've been trusting in the fact that you're the sons of Abraham. And I'm here to tell you that you've denied the one that God promised to Abraham. You denied the one that God promised through Moses. And I am telling you that it's Christ. It's Jesus. He died and he rose again. And if you will trust in him, he will deliver you. He will turn you away from your sin. And that's what he preached, that Jesus was the Messiah, the anointed prophet of God. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11. Hebrews 9, verse 11. Prophet and priest. Priest. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Boy, you want to talk about a hard place to just pick a couple of verses. I really wanted to just like read to you four or five chapters from Hebrews. You're welcome. I didn't do that. You can do it on your own. Listen, Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews lays it out beautifully. Jesus is the great high priest. He's greater than Moses. He's greater than the angels because he made the angels. He's greater than the law. He's greater than the priesthood of Aaron. He is greater than everything. And while those priests had to come back every day to make sacrifice, they had to go back every year. The high priest had to go back year after year after year. And they spilled millions of gallons of the blood of bulls and goats, which could never take away sin. Jesus Christ came, our great high priest, who was in all points tempted like as we are, yet he never sinned. And he became the sacrifice for us. He entered into the one true holy place, the presence of God, once for all, to take away all sin forever. This is who Jesus is, the anointed prophet, the anointed high priest, prophet and priest. And can I just say this? Listen, I already asked if y'all ate too much. I know some of you did, and you're tired, but just please stay with me for a second. Every religion in the world has the idea that you have to do something to earn your salvation. It's about what you can do to gain the pleasure, what you can do for your deity. The Bible says that God himself became a man to die for you. Now, if you're not careful, after you're saved, you're going to start hearing a lot about what you need to do and not do, and you're going to turn biblical Christianity into something that God never intended it to be. You're going to make it into like the world's religions. You are never going to have a right standing before God because of what you do. You are never going to have a right standing with God because of what you do or because of what you fail to do. You are going to have a right standing with God only through Jesus Christ and his blood. Jesus gives liberty. Well, he's prophet, he's priest. Guess what else he is? Good job, guys. He's king. 2 Samuel 7:12. If I say the king of Israel, who's the first person you think of? There's no right answer here. Somebody said David. Somebody said Amaya, said somebody else. For me, it's David. He wasn't the first king, right? But he was the one who was the man after God's own heart. And if Jews look back to the kings that they had in past, I would like to think that David's the one who stands above the rest. Why? Well, one, he was a man after God's own heart. God chose him, set him up. And because God prophesied that he would have an eternal kingdom. I'm going to set up your throne, David, and it's going to be forever and ever. The kingdom of David is synonymous with God's kingdom in the Jewish mindset. So 2 Samuel 7:12, when thy days be fulfilled, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. But he stopped right there. I need you to understand something before we go any further here. The Bible does this all the time with prophecy, and it's really vital that you understand it. Because in our mind, we need everything to be black and white. We need it to mean one thing and nothing else. And God doesn't work that way, because guess what? He doesn't answer to us. Okay? God many times, if not most of the time, maybe even all the time, when he gives prophecy in the Old Testament, they almost always have a dual fulfillment. What do I mean? I mean, I know that what I'm reading you right now has to do with Jesus, but it's not just about Jesus. Part of it's also about Solomon. Okay? There is an immediate fulfillment in what God told David here that's fulfilled in Solomon, but it is prophetic of not just Solomon. It pictures, it typifies Jesus. Okay? Solomon was going to have an eternal kingdom? No. Solomon was going to lose the kingdom. Solomon was going to have a couple of boys that were going to tear the kingdom apart. Okay? But is there an eternal kingdom that's part of that lineage? Absolutely, and it's fulfilled in Jesus. Okay? I need you to get that because it's mixed together here, things that are pointing to Jesus and things that dealt with Solomon, okay? I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Listen, Solomon, David didn't get to build the house because he was a bloody man, a man of war. He got all the stuff together, and Solomon would literally build the house, but Jesus is the one who really builds the house. Okay? Spiritually speaking, he's the one who fully and finally builds the house. Okay? Look at verse 14. I will be his father. He shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. Okay? Now check this out. In verse 14, it says, I will be his father, and he shall be my son. Is that talking about Solomon, or about Jesus, or about both? Both. That's right. Okay, how about this part? If he commits iniquity, is that talking about Solomon, or Jesus, or both? Solomon. Thank you. Everybody with me right now? Jesus didn't commit iniquity. God didn't need to make provision for his son Jesus to have iniquity. And so part of this is talking about Solomon, part of it's talking about Jesus, and part of it pictures both. Okay? If you could just, even if you're not with me, just nod your head just a little bit. Okay, all right. So part of it's about Jesus, part of it's about Solomon, part of it applies to both. Jesus needs no chastening with the rod of men. He needs no chastening from the stripes of the children of men. But he took our stripes on himself. Not for his iniquity, because he had no sin, but for our sin. By his stripes, we are healed. You guys see it? See, it pictures Christ. It pictures his death for us. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. God was going to be merciful. He was going to keep the kingdom with David's lineage, even though David's descendants would be absolute knuckleheads. Hey, guys, listen. David's kids and David himself would deserve to have the kingdom ripped away from them as much or more than Saul did. Okay? David did not get to keep the kingdom forever because he deserved it or because he earned it. He got to keep the kingdom. It stayed with him because God said so. It was by his mercy and by his grace. Okay? Thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. And Jesus Christ left his throne. He came to this earth. He was born in that lowly town of Bethlehem, wrapped in swaddling clothes, laid in a manger. He lived a sinless life. He died a sacrificial death. And he rose again to conquer death and hell and the grave. And he gives eternal life to all who believe. And listen, when he ascended after 40 days, fully ascended into heaven, he is set down at the right hand of the Father. He is on his throne today, ruling and reigning today. He has established his kingdom, and he's building his kingdom here. All right? Luke 1, verse 30. And then we're done. Luke chapter 1, verse 30. We actually looked at these verses last week, but I just want you to see just the fact that he would be called Christ the Lord points back to all of these Old Testament prophecies of the Anointed One, of the Messiah. The fact that he's prophet, priest, and king is all wrapped up in the name Christ. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." What did he tell? What did he tell David? He told him that I'm going to establish this kingdom. I'm going to establish this throne forever. Thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. And the angel said, Mary, don't be afraid. Fear not, because you're going to have a son, and he is going to be the savior of the world, and he is going to have the eternal kingdom of David. A lot of pictures this week of Messiah's birth, manger scenes. Pictures of that babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. We have that imagery all around us. I want you to know that that babe that was born is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Amen. He is the Lord of glory. And he was born to die, yes, yes. But friends, he was born to reign forever. Let's stand together.